I'm guilty.
He's guilty, y'all. Love after Laka.
Of love in the first degree. But I don't mind.
Mm-mm. Sure don't.
As long as you're here with me. A judge and the
jury.
When they heard my plea. You know they sent me up the river.
Straight up fabric, well, gay up.
They put the flame on me. Lock me up, throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm doing time, I'm doing fine. I'm just a prisoner of love. Love after lockup, y'all.
Watch it, y'all. Those little Debbie cakes, they go everywhere.
Nothing like a jumpsuit.
Hey, Nathan.
Girl, run.
See,
girl,
I don't
run.
Are you scared?
Yes,
her?
He's taking her to this fucking whore murder house and he keeps just staring at her. I'm terrified.
I think he's so stuck in his own head of wants to make everything so good for her.
It's a house with dolls, poodle.
Well, that's true. I guess that's the funny part of it, but I'm actually worried that he's going to use. So again, I'm worried too.
He could use and go, I'm scared for this girl. Who, again, here we thought she was getting this edit that she seemed crazy. And now I'm like, oh my God, this guy terrifies me.
I want to pursue this because I don't know if you're just being funny about it, but does he really scare you?
It's not necessarily her physical safety,
right?
Something triggered my but I do worry about her sobriety safety. I worry
about that for both of them.
I mean him too, but it's I worry about her because it's the fact that he completely devolved and pivoted this quickly, that does give me a little bit of a red flag of, are there other sides to him that we don't know?
No, I agree with that. I think it's all anxiety of making everything perfect for her. That he's so, in a way, overcome with love for her, which is also scary in its own way. I don't think he wants to hurt her, though.
No,
I think that's
think
where I'm taking exception.
The murder mask didn't make me feel any better when he dressed up in a murder. I'm telling you, it was...
No, whoa. I think she had a good time with it, though. I think she likes bad boys, and she's a good girl who likes bad boys. So I think this is perfect for her. I did think his reaction of shutting down because he's so nervous and spilling coffee on himself, he wanted this to go so well, is scary. But not in a way of malevolence, I guess.
I hope not. It seems like sometimes people, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that sometimes signs of people that can have a little bit of aggressive or violent behavior could be very controlling. And it seems like he feels out of control. So, y'all, this was a dark episode of Love After Lockup. I thought a lot of I love this show, but there was not a lot of audacity in this episode, it felt like.
No. I don't think you had to.
No, not at all. Y'all, this is Love After Lockup, season 4, episode 34. What's it called, Poodle? Did you look it up?
I don't know.
You had one job.
We get these early, so sometimes I don't know where they are. I don't know where the titles are.
It's called Ditched and Dismissed.
Oh, because was Monique ditched? No. Who was ditched?
Gabby and Chris. Because she ditched him twice.
Did she? She just refused to pick him up. Yeah, that's true.
God, that's love. Your boy, your husband that you married at the 7-Eleven, you refuse to pick him up when he's just been in jail for years.
Oh, I don't feel sorry for him at all.
No, not at all. He's a horrible person.
I think it's part of her game. This is all to make him feel sorry, and she's gonna see how far it can go. And as we just said, she continues to flabbergast me by being one of the worst people ever, by having absolutely nothing redeeming. There's no sense of humor. She's such a dark, angry cloud. I liked it when he says, Gabby, she's feisty. I was like, you mean she's a rage monster? She's an unquenchable rage inside of her that she needs to hurt people.
Which, ironically, he ends up hurting her. But
yeah,
when he talks about how he likes it, I went, you two are like the dredges of humanity.
Dregs.
What did I say?
Dredges.
Same thing.
Like you dredge something in flour.
Yes, now I want fried chicken. Why would you say that to me?
The dregs are the kind of stuff at the end, like the out of a wine bottle. The dregs of that. Sorry. Would you rather say that and then someone said that's not how you use that word?
I don't care. I just want fried chicken now. Y'all brine it in pickle juice. They'll give you good fried chicken.
Really? No, I just buttermilk. Just do buttermilk.
Buttermilk. You can also do pickle juice, though. It's a good, I think that's what maybe Shake Shack does. One of the famous, like, does that with their chicken sandwich.
I don't know.
Now I'm hungry. Are you happy? Now I'm hungry.
Well, I'm glad we learned dreg versus dredge.
I'm going to mess it up. Let's do this. Any announcements? I don't think we have any announcements.
No. I think... Is this episode four of this season?
Episode four. So it actually fits in that because we're in the middle. It's kind of a middle. It felt like a middle episode to me. There wasn't anything like, oh my God. And now have we officially all couples are out and living together, correctly? Correct?
No.
Correct.
Halfway house, Cameron just got dropped off at the halfway house. Eris.
But I mean, everybody's had like, they fucked or they've...
I don't know. I don't know how many couples.
Ashley and Travis, Kathy. We had no Kathy this episode.
No, she was missed. She was missed.
I think that's one reason why it wasn't a very funny episode. It was a good episode, but it was heavy.
I think everyone is so high stakes this season, except for... The foreboding I get from Monique and Derek just won't let up. What we had with Nathan and Skylar got really, really dark quickly.
But I want to
talk about it later, and I want to ask you about it because I wondered, this is strange behavior.
Let's just talk about them now, and then we'll talk about Justine and Michael. We've already talked a bit about them.
Yeah, let's just jump because this is... Let me think. Here's the things that we know.
Because we don't want to end on Nathan and Skylar.
No. Here's what we know. He is really excited about her getting out. He says things like, tell me you love me, which is creepy. We've said, don't do that.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
She has a really, really important part of his life in a way. He got sober for her. So this is why, for me, I want to build this up in the right way to illustrate that may explain some of his behavior. But it was still disturbing to watch.
Well, even the fact of you saying reminded me that he said, tell me you love me. Solidifies me. I'm starting. That makes me feel more almost unsafe with him.
And remember, his mother died when he was younger. He's never really seems like had a consistent family unit, so he's trying to make that with this woman, this 22-year-old girl.
Yes. And it's who's very young.
The stakes are so high for him, So I think that's why he was losing it a little bit. And
yeah, and she's not at all, because we said this last week. We said meeting her mother, who is younger than us. We're still going to bring that up every time. But it felt like we even said, like, it just seems like her mother's from a different world. And we were right. They talked
also,
about it in the episode.
She has something to fall back on because she comes from something.
So
he doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. She has a naivete.
Yeah.
And she hasn't had a world weariness or street.
I'm
going
to tell you something right now. This couple is the most interesting one to me this season after this episode. I am watching because it is two people, and he even said it. This should have never happened. We come from different worlds. And through some miracle, I met her. And that
it's
is
so it's so what he's doing. It's so he's putting her on the, like, you obviously high stakes, but also this idea of putting her and their relationship and everything of such high importance on a pedestal.
I know.
It's not, it is, woo, it is very, y'all, this one's going to crash and burn.
I think it will.
I think she's going to get away from him. She's going to feel like she needs to get away from him.
I think that was always the plan. I think she wants, she's comfortable chasing the bad boys from her place of middle-class upbringing.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to be real and she can't go to mom's house, because it seems like I think she'll get tired of slumming it. I have a feeling. And when she's taken away, his kind of light is not going to do well. But it was just so interesting watching him.
They are fascinating to watch.
Yeah. I want to talk about just the beginning of this where she says, she gets out. She's and what's good is, y'all, she's got a couple of extra LBs on her, which is good because that's sobriety. We start to see that because the pictures of her we saw, she was very thin.
Yeah, she looks much healthier.
And she looks like her mom. And she said, I definitely lived on the wild side of life. My childhood was so sheltered, which this happens to a lot of kids. I knew a lot who did, that I rebelled, smoked weed at 11, and it spiraled from then. By 19, I was doing lots of pain pills and a $700 a day habit of fentanyl. So that's
a lot of money.
Yeah. And mom's kind of like fine. I just want to like hold you and like keep you forever and lock you up. And I'm like, that's why. Honey, that's one of the complicating reasons why she does this.
And Heather admitted this episode, she does think it's Skylar's fault. Y'all remember she was in a halfway house and they missed a curfew.
Nathan's
she had to go
fault.
Back to prison. I'm sorry. Heather does feel like it's Nathan's fault that Skylar had to go back to prison.
And y'all, thank you for coming at us with your idea that you know some Heathers who are moms, but it is always a strange experience. And Heather's and Jessica's.
Yes.
Thank you. But there was that time, because it was like, for contemporaries of ours, there were four Jessicas in your class, four Jennifers, and four Heathers.
Yeah.
We get it. And they all seemingly, and to know a mama Heather or a mama Jennifer, it's, Jennifer I see more. Jessica I don't see as many moms named Jessica.
Oh, I know a lot. I mean, Heather Harris, she's got several kids, different husbands.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of options for your Heathers.
Well.
I think they quickly moved on to doing what they should do.
Well, she started
as soon as they're out of high school.
Her mom, Mrs. Harris, who used to teach, she started wearing her muumuus that her mom used to wear when she taught high school, and it got her another man, and she ended up getting knocked up real quick.
So the muumuu was irresistible.
She said, that's what she told me. I remember at her 10-year high school reunion, she's like, I put on my mama's muumuu and I felt like a new woman.
We need to move on.
That's what she said.
Anyway, so she's, the mom's
it's
given
so
her.
So true. Sorry, go ahead.
The mom's given her tons of clothes. It's almost like not breaking any type of cycle, giving her all the things, showering her with gifts, saying it's like nothing is changing. the behaviors that kind of that kind of that protect her, that she thinks she can always fall back on.
Because Skylar said, we get that she says that she was raised in middle class family. She always went to church. She was rarely told no. And that
I think it's probably upper middle class because she grew up in a very nice subdivision, she said.
I can't believe her mom is letting her go live with Nathan.
I think her mom knows better than to forbid anything.
I think so,
because
too.
She rebels. Like, this is the thing. I guarantee you, there has been little about Skylar that's changed since she was 14. The change will start now.
Could have been Poodle or me.
I know. But the change will start now, hopefully, now that she's sober. But that's what I'm saying. Now she's going to have to deal with the emotions that she's been numbing for that long.
I think she's going to have to deal with that. And then she's going to have to, y'all, because Nathan talks about, too, how it's crazy. Like you talked about, it's crazy we ended up in the same place, one in a million chance, and he's got all this pressure. And then literally they're driving in the truck, and they're 1 hour out of prison. And he says, I'm nervous that you were just running a jail game on me. And I went,
what the fuck? The abandonment, the fear of abandonment, y'all, is so strong here.
So strong. And this is going to cause, because now she's going to realize, oh, wait, I'm not dating a bad boy. I'm dating someone who got sober and is completely just an emotional raw nerve right now.
Exactly.
I've got to run from this.
I'm dating a stage four clinger. That's the problem.
And that this happens a lot when people are getting when people find new sobriety. There is a lot of raw emotions. A lot. And there's a lot of times people that are getting sober.
That's
together,
why they
trauma.
Tell you not to get into new relationships they when you're newly you sober.
They tell you not to get new relationships because what happens is you trauma bond.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it can be beneficial, but sometimes still then it just becomes, then that's why a lot of AA does a lot of work with like CODA and things like that, because it can develop a lot of codependency, which you can see how that could happen with some reason.
So they're going to get coffee, and she said the prison coffee was instant. You can tell.
I hope she just loves me. I hope she just loves me.
From the moment they're there, there's this moment where I think he realizes it was all idealized in his brain, and there's a switch that flips and goes, he goes, oh, shit, this is real. This girl's right here. I have to do everything to make this perfect for her. And, y'all, he is paralyzed. He can't even say anything. It is hard to watch.
Because
and it seems that, freaky like, scary.
It is very scary. And he's basically saying, I'm unlovable. I'm a piece of shit. I'm a piece of shit. I'm trash. Why would you want to be with trash like me?
I know that's
what he's thinking.
I just want to reiterate that a lot of people can see him being like scary, either angry, violent. And I saw it as he was shutting down. Like it was.
I saw it as both.
I just think it was him. I don't think he was so utterly his anxiety level was so high that he could not even respond to her.
It's an understandable feeling that it's understandable given his life circumstances why he feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
What is the wild card though is I don't know how are you going to process that. And expel that because anxiety is energy and it can't be contained forever. It has to be expressed in some way. And that's what I'm worried about.
Y'all, that's a good point. They got back in Zanesville and y'all came at us saying, yeah, Zanesville's one of those towns that, it's not near Kentucky, but it's like, it's not where you want to be.
More than we thought.
Yeah.
When we looked last time,
they said it's not a great place to be.
it's not a good place at all.
And y'all, she realizes that it's in the grandmother's house that we were saying. She's like, I can't live like this. Look at these creepy pictures.
It does look creepy with the dolls and the light and the old furniture.
But I'm just telling you, think about the place of privilege she's coming through that she can say this. This is the place he's got to live.
No, I wouldn't have said that if I was her, but she's not even, I would never have said like, this is grandmother's home. I would have acted like I was moving into the Taj Mahal.
Well, and there's a way to do it. And he gets really quiet and just starts moving stuff out of the way because the more she talks, and she's talking because she's nervous, and the more she talks, the more nervous he gets. And I'm sitting here like, I don't know what to do.
I might need to process some things because, again, he's kind of scaring me. But when he picked up that mattress by himself and just lifted, I went, oh, I can't do that.
Oh, he can fuck. I'm telling you that now. And y'all, I've said this before. To fuck a crazy person is to see the face of God. To paraphrase the Les Mis lyric.
Wow.
You don't want to stay long, though. And you definitely don't want to date them. You want to fuck them and get away.
It's kind of a miracle you're alive.
You're not wrong. So Nathan says, this is really interesting. He keeps saying, I don't think Skylar understands the pressure I'm under. And y'all, this is all self-induced pressure because he's decided he has to create this family for the two of them.
It does not feel like, maybe we haven't seen or heard enough of her, but it doesn't seem like that she's put this on him.
No, I don't think she has.
We did have a phone conversation, remember, where she got mad at him because she found out he was in a bar with his friends.
Yeah.
And she got angry about that. But that was more about his sobriety. And that, so maybe she, because she had that time, she's like, when we get out, like I get out, we've got to like, we can't fuck this up. We've got to be good. We can't get tricked or we can't get close to the flame, all that kind of shit. So maybe she has been putting this pressure on him that they have to live this perfect life.
Right. And I will say, the house is, the especially the room they're in and the wallpaper, y'all, this is some creepy grandmother's house shit. This isn't the nice grandmother. This is like
Yes.
It's creepy.
It looks like the house we went to in Sulphur, that Airbnb that I went to where I saw that gay ghost, Kevin, who was dating that guy, James.
I think Kevin was, Kevin was the gay boyfriend, wasn't he?
It was James was the gay ghost, and then we found out Kevin was his boyfriend.
I still say, ain't no ghost named Kevin.
What? That's what the app said.
Especially gay ones.
Fine.
So then they had that mask thing, and she's kind of into it. And I'm like,
she's like, oh, that's funny. Let's go fuck.
It fits for her, though. It fits her. I just, you know what I think the other thing is? We've been introduced to her through the lens of him, through Nathan's lens. Yeah. And now we're realizing that it's not really reliable.
Well, because Heather, the mom, and then meeting her kind of threw us for a loop.
Yeah.
Because I think we were expecting like a Lindsay or a Destiny.
We were,
That is not what we got at all.
But the thing is, we don't really know her, and we barely know him.
What if he doesn't really know her, or more often, but she doesn't even really, I don't think she even really knows him.
I don't think so, but it seems like they've been together seemingly long enough. And remember, he knew her ex, who died. This is, he's the third one in the chain.
Which one that died?
The second one, the most recent.
Remember, y'all, two of them.
Two dead boyfriends.
That's why Tina the Ant thinks she's a black widow.
Two dead boyfriends.
Wow.
Shall we move on? Let's go back to the beginning and do Michael and Justine.
A very good place to start. They are becoming interesting to me as well.
For me, it's normal reasons because I feel like this is all normal people shit.
I mean, it's not necessarily the most, but I think I'm just, again, I know I'm going to be disappointed. So I have to keep telling myself that. But I'm like, this season is making me like Justine a lot more.
Oh, I agree. I like her a lot. I think she's pretty grounded in a way.
I think she's pretty grounded and level-headed, yes.
We did not see on Love During Lockup. We just saw lots of cat suits and those body suits. And Michael is really acquitting himself well. And he's so hot. I'm so into him.
He's really, really hot. He's really hot.
Let's just get into this. So, y'all, remember, Justine, in her own way, she was doing everything she could to provide to his friend Mocha, saying, "Oh, I'm so glad you came here during this family event that only family was supposed to come to. But we're glad you're here with our family."
Their family.
Family, family.
Now, it was shady. Mocha says that he was more like family because he said, "I was there when no one was there."
When they weren't.
I was there.
And remember, y'all, Michael's got a lot of, and I think his mother did visit, but Michael still feels like he feels abandoned by his family when he was in prison.
Well, we find out that his father only visited him one time.
Yeah. And the mom went, but he even said, "You feel like you're in a cemetery for the living because they treat you like you're dead.
That your family forgets about you."
Yeah.
It makes me, and then we're going to get into, but so they, you know, Justine first has this conversation with the mom, and it's kind of like, mom, you can already tell the mom is, she was like, "How was last night?" And the thing is, they have a blurred relationship because they were friends before. And
How was last night banging my baby? Did you enjoy the sex with my son?
And Justine even says, "Oh, you want to know that?" And she's like, "Well, yeah, he's going to tell me anyway." And she just said it was a nice night. And then mom's like, "Oh, you're pregnant already?"
I think this scene could have told you everything you needed to know about Michael's relationship with his mother and his overbearing sister. And he says it later on that my mother and my sister have been way too involved in my love life. That's going to stop now. I really hope he stays with that.
I think so. This is all about
Team Justine.
Team Justine, and this is all about jealousy. That's it, pure and simple. Yeah. Just jealousy and control. Because it seems as if, I was watching this going, I don't remember where Michael's mother is from. So culturally, like, how does the mother involve?
I think they are Dominican.
So I don't know. I can't speak to, like, how involved Dominican mothers are in their,
they're involved.
I'm imagining just from the little bit we know,
see,
but I
Pedro's
don't know
mother.
I know from that, but she's there. They also seem like, I don't know if they're the outlier or.
Yeah.
So Dominican sissies, like, come at us and let us know. Like,
They're Dominican. And I think his father looks like Southeast Asian, or kind of Indian descent. There's some type of
And I bring that up because, like, my mother would be very hands off. My mother would be like, "You're married now. Maybe she would subtly say things to me, but my mother would never approach.
No, this is the prize son. Like this is the one. This is the favorite.
But even being the favorite, I mean, that's your mother wouldn't do this.
Absolutely not. No.
So that's
she would to, she yeah. would err on the side of trying to be aloof.
Say so with my and, mother. So that's yeah. why I'm interested.
Well, that's white people.
Yeah, so that's why, I'm trying to, so she's, and he does, we already talked about this, he talks with his dad.
There's no boundaries here. There's absolutely no boundaries, and the mom and sister think they can just say whatever the fuck they want, and Justine, y'all, and this is the worst part of it, they don't even really come for her parenting style directly. They have to bring her oldest daughter, Kylie, spelled a terrible way, in and saying, "Well, my granddaughter's never getting tattoos," or blah, 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 "so that won't be a problem. I just see how you parent your daughter." It's so shitty.
So, yes, just y'all, because remember, there's so many kids, it's hard to keep track. Kylie is not Michael's daughter.
No. Justine's oldest.
Just Justine's daughter, who, like Justine said, is on the honor roll, has a 4.0. If she wants to get a tattoo at 16, I will take her to go get a tattoo at 16.
Different ways of raising children than the mom has. Michael's mom.
What do you think about when they did talk to the dad and he said, "I get it. I want to, maybe if your son was like, did a horrible thing, like hurt his own child or a murderer, but I couldn't really feel sympathy for the dad when he said, it took me 6 months to recover from seeing you there. And I wanted to say, that's your kid. You fucking swallow it and you show up and go."
Here's the issue. It's that kind of, you've mentioned this with your own father. they can't stand to be uncomfortable because they were uncomfortable enough and they're so
they
afraid of it.
They blame themselves. And yep. So it's making it about, they blame themselves for.
They can't tolerate it. They can't tolerate any bit of being uncomfortable.
I don't know. I am honest. Maybe that makes me sound really judgmental. I don't think so. Child that's been in prison, but it just really, I was like, fucking parent up, dude. Come on.
It sounds like he's prioritizing his well-being over his son's. That's what it feels like.
I guess your son's an adult, but
yeah, if your son is asking you to come see, and he would say, I couldn't do that. It does feel like even though you're saying that you're actually depriving your son of something. You're depriving your son of yourself. To me, it just feels very self-involved.
It feels self-involved.
Yeah.
Poodle, I would come see you in prison if you were in prison. I would go every week, and it wouldn't be to date any of the other inmates. I swear,
sure,
it would be just
not at all.
You.
I'd walk out there. There'd be four men just carrying me, like Cleopatra. Thank you, Ramon. I'd own that place now. I would have, my colon would be dragging behind me as well. Yeah. Like a train.
Just getting torn apart by the cement.
It's fine, I got calluses. Watch your step, y'all. That's my colon.
That's Poodle's colon. Oh, hey, boys. Hey, boys. So you felt, I agree with you. So I felt like it was totally just mom needed, I forget her name. She needed to back the fuck up.
Oh yeah. It's no boundaries have been set. And thank God Justine is going to be the first one, it seems like, to say, look.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Justine, mom's composure maybe is a little bit better. And so that's what she's trying to say is that, y'all remember what Jake and I've said about people who start throwing that word disrespect around. Mom starts throwing that word. You're disrespecting me. You're and that's that idea. I want to say,
what have you earned?
What have you earned, bitch?
Yeah.
You're not her mom. You're not her mom. You were her friend.
And she barely knows you. She knows you as a friend. And now you're changing the relationship to mother-in-law really quickly. And now a whole new level of respect is owed. And that's going to be really hard.
That just doesn't happen for a lot of people.
Well, she even said, you know, she's like, I guess I raised my kids different than that. She was that thing of, because when someone says, well, I was raised differently, y'all, the tacit part of that, the part that's not out loud, says you weren't raised right. Promise you, when someone says that, that is a nasty thing. There's no way you can rewrite that good in your head. That's a shitty thing for someone to say. Well, I guess I was raised differently. Hint, you were raised wrong. There's no nice way to say it.
Why, when you said it, did I hear in my head, gah, I guess I was raised differently.
Exactly. My mother did say that to me. Trust me, I can parse all this because I grew up with it. Y'all, the reason I know all this is I could have written on a textbook on pathologies because I've observed a lot and I grew up with them. Again, we're all fucked up. The most important thing you can do in your life to not rewrite the mistakes that either your parents made is be aware of them and figure out, ask yourself why you do these things. Ask yourself why your patterns are.
Ask yourself why, and ask yourself, why does my parent do that? Why does my parent, instead of getting angry and emotional and like, oh, it pisses me off, go, wait, why do they do that?
Yeah.
What? Or I do like that Oprah, she did that campaign, a couple social media campaign, that campaign that basically said, what happened to you? Ask yourself, what happened to my mom? What happened to my dad or my guardian or whoever? There's a little bit where they end up fighting. It goes badly. Anne comes in over and gets involved. And for like basically for about 5 minutes, Anne and Justine just keep saying, "We'll see. We'll see. We'll see."
She's gonna be gone. Now, this is all a pissing contest. They've been the most important women.
I literally wrote the exact same thing.
They've been the most important women in Michael's life. They've seen different women come and go with different kids, but they've always run them off. And this is about pissing on every space they can and saying, well, we need to talk about how you're going to raise your kids. Justine's not going to go quietly, not going to go gentle into that good night. That's not going to work. And I'm here for it.
I'm here for, and honestly, just it's not for mom. Now that her son's out of prison, it's not her business how Michael raises his kids.
I know. You've got to let that go.
I mean, I know maybe she felt like she did some raising of them, but
So, and he does say, he actually does say, you probably just talking about this. He actually hears them arguing. He's like, "You need to chill." He's like, because my mom and my sister has always been dominant in my life, and it's not going to be like that. And the worst thing that Anne is saying, Michael, you need to check your girl. Check your girl. In other words, already trying to make him do their dirty work and kind of like make her feel in this like less than. Be the woman. Michael, make her woman realize.
Well, and the mom's saying she won't last. She won't last.
Ugh, they're like shitty.
They are shitty. And so they come back, and it was interesting because I actually really thought Michael came to her in a trying to understanding, I want to talk about what happened way. And Justine was just kind of shut down about it.
She's too stuck in the anger of it. Yeah.
But weren't you surprised kind of by like the EQ that Michael came to this with?
He is constantly surprising me.
It made him a lot hotter.
My biggest fear is that he completely ruins everything by the end of this season. I have to eat all my words.
I am worried too. I'm worried. I hope that there's nothing, y'all, because remember, we don't know how he bought the car. Like, I hope he's not a con.
Yeah, we're not sure about where those financials are. Yeah. But I liked it when Michael said, "I had more problems in the last 72 hours than I had my entire time in prison."
That makes you feel good. That makes you feel good.
It's your fucking mom and sister. They're overbearing and have no boundaries. It's time.
Let's talk about Monique and Derek, shall we?
Oh, boy. So, I've got to say,
wet. It was real wet.
Where are you on Derek now?
Meaning?
Like, I mean, it was, where are you? Because I have a lot less confidence in Derek.
Yeah.
That he actually wants to be with Monique.
Yeah. I don't trust him, but I trust Monique less, ironically. I feel like, you know what it is? I feel like, he's not dumb. I don't mean this at all. Derek doesn't seem that deep about his designs. Where Monique, remember y'all, she put cameras in his house. She bought his phone and everything. Like, it's so, Monique set this up to be the martyr. She set this up to,
and she set it up to fail, remind herself. So at the end, she goes, "Well, I guess I'm fat and unlovable." So when it falls apart,
With Derek, I don't know yet if this is a con full on for him, or if it's just that he. I worry less about this being a con, but more about him just getting back into old patterns and like selling drugs, and like the fact that he wants to go fucking gambling the first night that he's out of prison is not a good sign to me.
And that's what he used to do when he was selling drugs. That's what Monique is saying. And I understand why Monique is, she's not just wanting him as he thinks it. She's just wanting him because like to do that because she wants to control him. Actually, I think if she could have said, "I'm worried that you'll get triggered there," she did not say that. But I think she's, the other thing about her is she's so worried about losing him that she's not going to say anything to challenge his perception of how things are going to work.
For sure. And
yeah,
for sure. And I, you know, maybe I don't fully see Derek as conning her because I still, in this segment, I still was feeling more for Derek in that.
Yeah.
She was boring. She gave him nothing. She was giving him no chemistry. So even if he did, even if he does actually care for her, actually, I bet that she's making him feel like she doesn't care about him because she just seemed so over it the entire time.
I think she's just so afraid to lose him. Here's the way I started to see Derek. Derek was like the mayor of his town.
Yeah.
Where they are. And everyone knows him. He's everyone's. And he loves being that. He loves being social.
Yes.
He loves. And y'all. And there's a fine line between being a mayor and a con man.
And I don't know where we are yet.
And I don't know where we are either. But y'all, he knows everybody who's staying. Because this is his town in Ohio where they are. Mm-hmm. And there are planning to go back, I believe. Right? With her. I think I remember. 2 weeks in Ohio, I believe, and then she goes back.
I think so, yeah.
And he says the sex was good. I've been with taller, bigger women, but this was good. And she's like, is the best you had? And I'm thinking, Monique, first of all, y'all, don't ever ask anyone that. Don't ever ask anyone unless you want them to A, lie, or B, get or have to kind of actually it's A, lie, or B, lie. Don't, if you have to ask, it's not the best sex you've ever had. Let me just say that. Oh, the best sex you ever had, I'll go like this.
Oh.
you'll just sit over there in the corner going,
I'm saying, y'all, if it's the best sex they've ever had, you will not have to ask someone. Ever.
Monique only gives it a 7 or 8. She said he's young and there's not much foreplay.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get that with a guy who's just gotten out of jail. So I don't know if I can fault that much.
No.
Then as soon as he gets two calls from a private number.
This is where I got a little suspicious of him.
No, it's that mayor behavior. He's not seeing as a bad. He's like, well, you know, this is when he's trying. You see him in that confessional. He's like, how do I say this? How do I not fuck this up?
He says, this is breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
It's like someone girl wanted to meet me. And this is her. So, y'all, this is another jail, honey.
But this he says, I'm committed to know Monique. So I went, oh, that's where I went, he's got other ladies.
They're like, what's the name? He's like, I just needed to get her name right. Politician. Very slick. Yeah. I would not trust him at all. The thing about it is, Monique already went in not trusting him. So that's with all the cameras.
Yeah.
So he's later
also
on.
Also, what makes me not trust him more, and I understand that sometimes it can be a cultural thing. I understand a little bit of that, but this guy really likes to have pictures taken of himself. This guy really like
and
also
showing
like,
everybody how well he lives.
How it's important for him to have a $30,000 watch and to talk about his $30,000 watch. It's important for him to have different sweatsuits and in prison. It was talking about how it's important for him to cook his meals and do his. So it doesn't, for me, to what I see, that makes me lean more towards comment because I see, well, the guy doesn't want to be a hard worker. This guy wants things to happen to him or happen for him.
I want what's on the outside to match up with how I desperately want to feel on the inside.
Oh, for sure. He's worked out. He's really, but he also he probably has a little bit of short person syndrome where he feels inadequate because of that. Like,
but
and I only say that because he's talked about it a lot.
But it feels obnoxious, especially when he's like, give me the photo. It also feels extremely arrogant. And y'all, no one likes someone who talks about how much something costs, or no one likes someone, take my photos, take photos, photo shoot. So it's date night. He's ordered the whole menu, which I guess if it's your first night after prison, why not?
It was $500.
Yes.
A $500 bill.
And but I think that's part of it for him is seeing to Seb in his town that anyone who was watching could have come by and seen, look at my girlfriend and how what she can pay for.
Yeah, look at pay for. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. It's not a
And then he feeds her, and we know how I feel about feeding other people.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think he's a con man, or do you think – I think where I go back and forth, is he a con man, or is he just a full-on narcissist? There's a difference. A con man would think about how he's using someone else. It's almost like he's not even thinking about her.
I think he's an opportunist. I think
– Yes, that's the way.
It's the worst part of both of them. Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like as a nickel, like a long con. It just seems like y'all, like you said, y'all, this is going to be short. It's going to be fiery. It's going to go out quick, and they're going to have fun when they're doing it. And hopefully he's not back in prison.
Travis of Heather and Travis is a long con. That's a long con. We didn't have them, but yeah. Kathy's going to be left with nothing.
Not even chocolate.
He's even going to take the dog. So basically there's this moment where he's like, I'm going to go to the casino. And that's when she says, she's already yawning. And he's like, when he was in jail.
I will say this is his first night out of prison. She seems fucking boring as fuck though. That's where I sympathize with him, where it's like, that sucks that you got with Debbie Downer the night you got out of prison. And this woman's just like, you know, I'm like, come on, girl. Like,
I understand what you're saying.
Make him feel special.
I think it's the same similar idea that was happening with Nathan, where things are becoming real. And she's freaked out.
She is freaked out. But for sure.
But she's a terrible actor. At least play like you're having a good time, honey. Because you are
Nathan is different. He's not necessarily blaming her. Like, he knows she's freaking out, and he has a little bit of awareness. Monique, however, is judging him for feeling excited.
That's true.
And making him feel like he's stupid for feeling this way.
I agree with you. So, y'all, he's going to go. Dude. She tells him, you're not going to go to the casino, blah, blah, blah. And he waves at someone. She's like, and every time she sees someone that he knows, male, female, dog, giraffe. Do you know that Who's giraffe? That? Who's that?
Who's that?
That giraffe looked at you funny.
Now, did you think when the friend came inside and said hi to him, whenever they hug goodbye, in your mind, did they make out?
Yeah, that friend was hot.
Yeah, he was real hot.
They touched each other's dicks. They played, what's the thing when they played, not
sword
drumsticks.
Play?
They had sword fights. They had a sword fight together.
Oh, yeah.
Derek, I am your cocksucker. And he's like, yeah, that's the guy's like, this is the old pro. Y'all, if you're trying to go straight after being in jail, you never recall the old pro. Yep.
You might want to go to a different town.
So he's asked the friend, won't you take me to the casino? And he's like, sure. I'll call him when you're done
with your
girl.
He picks up his phone and he puts his number in. And then before they can leave, the guy leaves and Monique grabs his phone and then deletes the number.
I gasped. When this was done.
That's what it's like. He is, you're exactly right. The word is he is an opportunist, but at the same time, she treats him
like
trash.
She's so awful. Yeah.
She treats him like she controls him. And so it doesn't make me feel sorry. That's why.
I don't feel sorry for either of them, but when she deleted that number, I gasped.
I'm almost kind of like, Derek, have a good time while you can.
Oh, I agree with you.
Get the shrimp. Get the lobster, Derek. Fuck it.
Get all of it.
Get all of it.
Get it all, honey. And he is just talking to more friends he sees there. She's like, well, who is that? and she's always need to know who is around me. And he basically says, well, I guess I'm going to have to go to the casino now. And because he made this point of, well, you weren't tired when you would call me in prison all the time. And that was like 12:30.
You're back at the hotel at this point. Yeah.
And the difference I would have said, well, the difference is I knew where you were and I was almost kind of owning you by talking to you on the phone. You're going out somewhere without me. And that's scary to me.
Yep.
So she's going to the casino.
Not because she wants him to not. She's going to see that she doesn't want him to go, not because she worries about him relapsing or getting in trouble. She doesn't want him to go to the casino where hot women will see him.
That's true.
I think in her head,
she's convinced herself that is. But the underlying fear for her is that someone hotter will come along and he'll leave her high and dry. Yeah. Not something wet, as he said about her.
Something very dramatic happens next week. They're like screaming in the car. And she says something like, I don't want to die.
This will be over by the end of the season. There's no way.
Well, it's a shorter season. If it was a normal season, I would say it wouldn't even make this season.
I think of all the storylines, this one's DOA the most. Yeah.
God, these episodes are so packed. Our episodes are so long of these. Yeah. But sorry, y'all. There's just a lot to talk
Gabby
about.
Gabby and Chris!
Okay. So it's been 2 months since Chris has been in the halfway house.
Fast forward.
Gabby got some more shit done to her face.
She did. And got an interesting weave. Wasn't cheap.
No. She looks ridiculous. But Chris is already in the doghouse because they're FaceTiming her and she's like, it's like the day before he gets out. And she's like, what have you been doing? You've been having conversation with these bitches. And Chris is like, what are you talking? I was probably talking to the girl who does my hair. And she's like,
Do you believe that? No, absolutely not.
You don't talk to the woman who does your hair for 50 minutes.
No.
I'll see
Cut and Curl next week. You do the text.
He's basically gonna fuck her over because he's pissed at her because he brought it up last week and he brought it up this episode. He's pissed at her that he gave her the money and she fucking blew it all on her fillers and fucking facial surgery shit.
Yeah. He's pissed at her. I don't even think it's that deliberate. I think he wants to have her as a side piece as long as possible. The marriage was just so he could parole. Everything for him is get to the next step.
Now that we know that he's like a horrible abuser, it's just about what can I get from you and control you.
Yeah, we're all better now that he's back in jail.
He's
like, honey, these aren't sexual females. That was my favorite word of the show.
And he said, like, these aren't, he paused on it. Did you notice how these aren't sexual females.
These are women I knew before you. How does that make it better? I guarantee you, y'all, Chris doesn't have heartfelt talks with his female friends.
No. And what's even more, not at all. And what's even more ridiculous, he just pulls up that huge dick.
He's not in book club with a lot of girls.
No.
He's not a sensitive soul.
He's reading I Know Why the Caged Bird Fucks, not Why It Sings. That's what he's reading. And he just pulls out a sneaky snake. And now what's funny though is Gabby says, well, no one needs to know your whereabouts. You don't need to be talking to any other female. My house, my rules. And she's like, when you come home, we're having a conversation. And she said, besides, how would you feel if I was talking to some guys? And then he immediately turns and he was like, what guys? You're not talking. So he expects the same behavior out of her.
Oh, they are.
God, they're gross.
They are. I would not piss on either one of them if they were on fire and they were the last two people on Earth and they had to repopulate the world.
Because I'd be like, we just need to be done.
I would say, let's just call this done.
Yeah.
Let's call this a loss and move on. Maybe in the next life.
We'll get it right next time.
At the end, though, she even says, yeah, I got to tell him about some stuff he's not going to like. So she's been doing shit, too. So
we don't even know. So So he gets out of the halfway. Felicia's there with his brother. I forget his brother's name. Gabby doesn't show. And we don't need to go almost point by point. It's really just kind of a tirade of Felicia just trying to convince him.
And you realize, wow, everyone in your life, Chris, is shitty.
Yeah.
Every influence you have.
Because I mean, the mom isn't wrong, but it's gross.
The mom just wants him back there so she can have him. It's like, and it's the weird thing is, mom and Gabby are a lot alike.
They are.
You go what's familiar to you. And he's like, she caught me talking to some girls. And then, y'all, mom gives him his second phone. Because ain't nothing better than fucking over your new daughter-in-law than giving her away to talk to. It's almost like now Felicia and Gabby are competing for Chris.
I kind of, when she did that, I was kind of like, I thought, well, now I'm interested.
Oh,
well,
me too.
Well played, mom. Well,
because she everyone knows, is disgusting.
She said, quote, well, I'm giving you this phone so that way you can always call me and talk to me. Y'all,
she's
giving him that phone because she wants him to cheat on Gabby and find another woman and get out of this relationship full stop.
Yep. And she keeps saying, you don't want to be in Jersey. And then he says, y'all, I've been thinking about getting into Bitcoin.
Well, that didn't age well. I know you hate that phrase, but that literally didn't age 4 months.
I just love that he's just said that. He'd heard that once.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think crypto's for me.
I kind of hope they invested some in it.
Yeah. So he mentions in the moment he gave her $60,000. And then Brittany, his friend, calls. And says, oh, she's a friend I grew up with. And he's like, if I told Gabby about my 100 female friends, she would never understand. I don't think it was she would never understand. She would actually murder you in your sleep.
She would actually. Now, when he says she's just a Brittany's good friend. Do you believe
he
that?
He smiles. Poodle? No. This guy, you don't believe this guy. You is farther than you can like kick his like scarecrow motherfucking looking ass down the street.
That's true. Yeah, agreed. He's not an attractive man.
No. So y'all, Gabby
Stefano
Demira
is a mean man. Sorry.
Mean man. Stefano Demira, the actor passed.
When did he die?
Maybe he didn't die. It was his last appearance, though. I'm sorry. Stefano DeVera died. It was John Aniston. John Aniston's last appearance as Victor Kiriakis.
When was that?
He died recently.
No, when was his last appearance on Days?
Like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
But now the actor who plays Stefano DeVera, you're going to kill him.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think he is dead. I think he is dead. Look it up. I can't remember. Anyway.
You better hope. He died. Well, no. Hold on. Did. You're fine. He died in 2016.
Okay. Fine. I think he's been dead a while. But John Aniston died recently.
Jennifer's dad. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well, a lot of people might not know that that's her dad.
The name Aniston?
Well, you never know.
Carl's wife just got it.
Carl, well, I'm watching Days and Friends. Didn't know.
So, y'all, he is going to get on that train to Jersey.
He goes to Jersey, and then he calls her and she's like, yeah, I'll come pick you up.
What are you doing?
And she calls him and it's weird. Like even when he calls her, they're doing that kind of flirty. She's like, well, yeah, I'm that kind of bitch. He's like, oh yeah, you are. And I went, that's their relationship, is they both get off being shitty to one another. Like that fucking turns them
on. That's it. Yeah. her more than even him.
Yeah.
And he likes it.
He likes it.
She says, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to pick you up. So he's going to have to get a ride to her place.
Which is shitty. This guy who's just out of a halfway house, you're just not going to pick him up. He has no money. This is just for her to show that she has control over him.
Yep, I agree. I just keep having a hard time feeling sorry for him at all. Let's talk about the last couple, Eris and Gollum. I mean, Eris and Cameron.
Okay, I'm going to say this now. For some people, he might be too much. Cameron's a star. I love him. I'm happy to see him on this. I think he's so funny, and I think it might get old, but right now I'm enjoying it.
I think he's an idiot, and I love watching him in every scene, especially when he says, it was 24-hour furlough before you get to the halfway house, and he basically says, where did he talk about it? It's like, we went a few rounds. I basically jumped off the dresser to that pussy like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
And he's like,
he is a clown. I love him, but I think it could wear on you. It's going to wear on her because she doesn't really have a sense of humor.
Well, I she's disagree. Gorgeous. She seems more introverted. She seems like she thinks it's funny.
I don't know. I feel like I think she's a very serious person, and I just. But he does say, I'm going to go to a crazy-ass video. We've got girls up on each other and shits. Girls, like, rubbing on each other and making out. She's like, I'm not having that.
Ass clapping. And, also, and he's like, and then he said, I mean, I don't want to do no Pornhub stuff, but I mean.
Also, when it flashed their ages up there, there's no way he's 30. That's a rough 30.
That's a rough 30. That's a
and
rough
she's
30.
A stunner.
She's gorgeous. He like when he kind of puts his head down and looks at her like this.
Yeah,
but he just kind of looks at her like, "Hey, girl." It's so
just
funny
little
to me.
Dried up freak. I still think when I see her kiss him, I just get kind of sick to my stomach.
I bet because we've got two short kings on this show. We've got him, and then we also have, I already forgot his name.
I'm not calling Cameron a king. No.
I bet Derek. Derek, I bet is not, but I bet Cameron is good in bed.
I don't know. Sometimes the funny ones can be, but maybe he treats it as a game. But I bet he does. As he said, I'm thinking about them muffins. Soft and warm and steaming. It's muffin time.
Muffin time. It's muffin time.
Now,
you know when you put your head on those warm muffins, you put your head in it, they're all puffy, and there's you just go,
I do have to say that when my mom lets her dog in the morning called Muffin, and they call it muffin time, that's taken on a whole different meaning for me now. And I don't think I'll ever be able to hear it differently. Now I picture a man going
hopefully
down
not
on
your
a woman's
father.
Boobs.
Okay, hopefully not your father to your mother.
No. I wanted to look up
Friend, it's muffin time, mother poodle. God, I can't do this right now. The oven's broken, father poodle.
It's muffin time, friend. I was going to look up, what is hot six hair oil?
Hot six. Wow. It comes right up.
So it looked like it was for his hair.
It is part of, it is like a salate, but it is something like an African royal. So it's, I think, something usually used on black hair.
Okay. It just, they put that and then they put the, cocoa butter up, and I was like, which one did they use as lube?
That's a good you know what? I've used hair oil and cocoa butter in a pinch.
Shut up. No, you have not.
I've been with some guys.
Hair oil?
Sometimes when you show up to their house and that's all they have.
But couldn't that be is it all natural?
I wasn't asking.
Wow.
I wasn't in the asking in the dark when they're talking about when they're going to nut.
Yikes. So she does drop him off at the halfway house. And she's like,
honest.
I felt like I've just had my dream shattered. And I'm like, for him? Him? Who, him? It's just.
I know.
And she said, I want to head to Florida right away so there's no bad influences. I guarantee you that's not going to work. He's got to look up his rap crew. He's got to look up Funky D's Nuts. And
it's a Funky D's
Mr.
Nuts.
Mr. Roboto. And
I just texted. This is the meme. I just texted
DJ
Mary Payne.
I
texted Mary Payne. I said, what did y'all say that he looked like again? And she said, well, I said he looks like a Saturday Night Live character. And then I said he looks like a short Jim Carrey. And then Aaron said he looked like Fire Marshal Bill. Remember that? From
Yeah, it's all fair. I said
it's
Gollum.
All fair.
Y'all, this guy's fun on television. You don't want to be with this guy the rest of your life. Aris didn't know what the fuck's going on.
It would be a lot. I think it would be a lot to be. Right now, I find him very entertaining. And in this, between him and Tiffany or Ashley, it's the lights that we have shining on this season. Because everybody else are just burning cars flying down winding roads.
Yeah, I'm here for him and Kathy.
Don't get me wrong. The burning cards are riveting to watch, but it's still hard to watch. But it's also riveting. It's why we love Lalu. It's Shakespearean, really, this show.
The stakes are definitely.
They are.
That's the show.
That's the show, y'all. That's the show.
Wow. A long episode.
All right, everybody. We go long on these episodes. This was a short one. But y'all, that's Lalu. We're loving this season, so hope you are enjoying it too. Again, it's the one show we did on our fucking vacation. So
that's true.
All right, everybody. Hey, Cringe Chair's coming, y'all. Y'all are getting it. Extreme Sisters is gonna be coming at you, y'all. So that's gonna debut. Is it 21st of this month or is it February? I forget.
23rd. Same day the Darcy and Stacey premieres. And also, Jesus. You guys, we dropped Love in Paradise. We dropped Written in the Stars, our
Bicurious.
November Bicurious. That we were supposed to drop back in December, but we forgot about it.
I totally forgot about it. That was on me. We are going to be but bringing up Love in Paradise, that is dropping on the free feed on Wednesdays, y'all. So you can listen to that if you didn't listen to the first time around.
You're also going to get a poll within the next couple of days for the December Bicurious. So I'll be putting a couple of things for that.
Can we maybe? I don't mean this. This is me. Just I'm not.
Why don't you do this off the air?
can we just get it to where our Bicurious is? We do the December in December because I get confused. Can we catch up?
No, because we can't do that because here's why. The month has to end before we do them.
But we used to not do that. We would do like our May Bicurious in May.
Yeah, and we used to not be crazy busy.
All right. I'll let you be in charge of them.
How about that? How about you, instead of giving me notes, how about you want to take that?
I'm happy. I'll pick three shows every month that people to vote on. Do you just want to give that up to me and let me do that?
Yeah, you'll do a shitty job. So. You have no fucking idea what's out there in the world.
This is why. All right, everybody. That's your Lalu this week. So check out your Bicurious for some time. I'm just here pressing record. But until then, y'all. We will what, poodle?
Lalu, ya later.
Lock me up, throw away the key. I'm just a prisoner of love. I'm doing time, I'm doing fine. I'm just a prisoner of love.